Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom, what up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a tremendous, tremendous day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live and direct daily, every single day from sunny Southern California. And a reminder, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 notice report. Limitations apply. Not much happened. Oh, yeah, there is this one thing. Yeah, the NFL schedule came out, and people are freaking out. And I'll be honest with you, we've often, for a long time, made fun of Schedule Guy. Schedule Guy, in case you're wondering where this reference comes from, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, dog. That's a win, right? That's Mike and the Mad Dog. Basically the first ever sports radio show of note in New York City. Mike and the Dog, Francesa, who I think is retired again, and Mad Dog, who of course still does his thing mostly on baseball. But they go through a schedule and they go, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win. I refuse to do that. But I can also tell you, man, I'm excited. Right? I am super excited. Because not only did the schedule come out, but there's tons of storylines to it. And then the lines that go with it and people's assumptions and the, well, you know, boy, you look at that game and, you know, the Monday night game is the Raiders taking on the Ravens. Well, what if the Raiders have Aaron Rodgers? Well, the Broncos are favored over the Giants. Maybe they think the Broncos are going to have Aaron Rodgers. The Packers take on the Saints. We don't know who the Saints quarterback is going to be. We don't know who the Packers quarterback is going to be. But I think this year, maybe more so than any other year, there is legit and tangible excitement for a myriad of reasons. First, you do have all those storylines. Second, we're going to be able to go to these games where we weren't able to go. And what's crazy about it is, I don't know, are you go-to-a-game guy? Like, I'm not. I'll go to at least one Charger game just because I know I can get good seats and I want to see the new stadium. But outside of that, the sport is so much better to watch on your, like, nothing changes for any of us. But it's because it's like, have you looked at people's concerts tour schedules this summer? They're very much incomplete because no one knows what this summer is going to look like. Right now, it feels like everything's opened up, but you're always, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. Is it another train? Next fall, it feels like this thing will be a wrap and we're out in full force. And so when you look at September 9th, Cowboys and Buccaneers, you can go like, oh, Buccaneers got everybody back. Well, guess what? The Cowboys should be really good. That's a hell of a game. That's Thursday night football. Right? Cowboys, with Dak Prescott as quarterback, don't beat the good teams. There's no better team at the end of the year than the Buccaneers. But you would think the Cowboys will be fully healthy, their offensive line, and the Buccaneers' defensive line was awesome, but against depleted lines in the playoffs. I mean, then you go further, and you're like, man, there's so many good ones, right? Justin Jefferson just came out and said that neither Kirk Cousins or Joe Burrow have great arms, but Joe Burrow has swag. Of course, the Vikings play at the Bengals' first game of the season. You know? You have the revenge game for Sam Darnold as the Panthers' first game is at home in the Sam Darnold era is against the New York Jets. Heck, even the idea of Trevor Lawrence, we don't think he'll play against Deshaun Watson because we don't know about any sort of resolution to one, his trade request, and two, all of the off-the-field stuff. But that's a divisional game to start the year, and we'll see Urban Meyer, first look at Urban Meyer's head coach. The Browns taking on the Chiefs. Hey, Browns, congratulate. Great offseason. Awesome. Who do you open up with? The defending AFC champions. the two-time defending AFC champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, at home in an environment that will be rabid, rabid, with a rebuild offensive line. The Dolphins and the Patriots, those two teams have a storied history. Plus, you have Flores going against it. And we don't know who the Patriots coach is going to, a Patriots quarterback is going to be. We mentioned the Packers and the Saints, the Broncos and the Giants. Hell, the Bears taking on the Rams. Who's the Bears quarterback going to be? And oh yeah, by the way, the best and maybe second or third best defensive players in the league playing in that game. Right? And then you have Rams and Raiders. I don't know what it is. I can't totally put my finger on it. But I do feel like this year, more so than any other year, I'm excited about the schedule. Really, really excited. Like, legit. Woke up and like, I'm kind of into this thing. Into the schedule. Ramos, were you into the schedule release today?
Oh yeah, I always like to know what goes on in the NFL. I mean, I'm not as I'm not as giddy and excited by it as maybe some people are, but it's like, oh, okay, who are the Rams playing? So, you know, that's always interesting.
Who are the Rams playing?
I don't know.
I mean, because I know they play the Bears, but do you only have the first game?
I think that's the only one. I thought I heard Isaac say that was the only one we knew was the first game, but I'm not 100% sure. So, yeah, I can check the Rams right now if you'd like. I don't, you know.
No, they only have one opponent that came out.
Okay.
And it's the Rams Sunday Night Football in the new stadium, which, by the way, is going to host the Super Bowl as well, right? So that one should be really a lot of fun.
And I know Gavin was excited because I know there's a couple of primetime games that he's thinking of with the Chargers at SoFi as well. So
I saw a little news leak that the Chargers are going to have three primetime games at SoFi Stadium this year. So, and including week two against the Cowboys to kick off their home run at SoFi. So, a lot of Cowboy fans going to be there, I predict.
Yeah, there's always a lot of Cowboy fans when the Chargers play there. There's no question about it. Gavin, what are you most excited about that you saw on the schedule?
I'm really excited for the Sam Darnold revenge game, week one. I thought that him going against the Jets, that will be exciting. Underrated Charger-Washington game. Here are some storylines here. You have Rashawn Slater against Chase Young again as they went ahead in college, and then obviously, Justin Herbert versus the reigning defensive player of the year, Chase Young. So that's exciting.
Yeah, we're going to double-team him. I'm just going to tell you. We're going to double-team him the entire game. And like, you got a brand new head coach. Like, Brandon Staley, I don't care what else you do. I need you to double-team him.
Okay? But how about this? Khalil Mack returning to face the Raiders and John Gruden. That's going to come up in week five. That's a leak. So we'll find out later at 8 Eastern tonight for sure. But Khalil Mack versus John Gruden and the Raiders.
I don't think there's ill will there, do you?
I don't think he was.
I mean, he got the biggest contract you can possibly get, and there's just kind of a matter of factness to like, hey, we just can't afford that. We just don't have the cash, and we're not very good. What's the point? So I could be wrong, but I don't feel like that's an absolute that's one of those. Hey, this is a game that we. Where it's a true revenge game for him.
I am seeing that the Bears come into L.A. to face the Rams in game
We've
one.
Already talked about that.
Oh, we did? Oh, jeez.
Hi, John. I'm Doug. That's Gavin. I think that's Isaac behind the glass.
I'm preparing a lot of things here, and so, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's almost like you just got a rumor. Like, hey, I heard this rumor. Listen. I got a good one for you. All right, go, John. Go. And he's like...
Andy Dalton. I was like looking up, like, I couldn't remember who the Bears quarterback was, if that even makes sense, right? Like, who is the Bears quarterback? And Nick Foles, who is it?
It's, well, Justin Fields eventually will be the guy, probably not the guy week one or maybe not even this season. But yes, Andy Dalton or Nick Foles. Andy Dalton, Nick Foles. Isaac, anything jump out at you?
I look at it, and by the way, is Ramos still your third favorite coworker there?
No.
It came up in the manager's meeting, by the way, yesterday.
It did,
yes. Don wasn't too excited, but you know what? We did tell him that, you know, he was an honorable mention, we said.
Honorable mention. I'm sure that
our sales
him.
team is above number one just because that's always got to be nice to the sales team. Right? Wise, I'm sure they're part of it.
Wise
right?
man. See, the way I look at the scheduling is sort of from a media standpoint and which networks get the marquee games. Sunday Night Football, the marquee CBS and Fox games in the Sunday afternoon window, because the game behind the game, as you know, Doug, but maybe not too many of our listeners know, the executives from these networks literally work and negotiate to get the primo games. It's literally a year-round process. For example, let's take a random game. Week 4, Patriots hosting the Buccaneers. Tom Brady comes home. That's a Sunday night football game on NBC, which I can bet NBC executives were working the NFL year-round to try and get that particular matchup on their air. The other thing that's a real TBD here is all the networks are going to be drooling over anything involving Aaron Rodgers, whether it's the Packers or whoever, but they don't know where he's going to be next year, and that's the one component of the primetime schedule that is still to be determined.
That's an interesting one. That's an interesting angle to it, no question. Here's the way I believe it works with the games, okay? And yes, there is some negotiating and some wrangling and some arm twisting, without any question. But I believe the way it works is every week after the first week, one network, there's like a, you know, Fox gets the first pick this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then CBS gets the second pick. And then ESPN ABC gets the third pick. And then NBC gets the fourth pick. And then the next week, you know, Fox gets the last pick and everybody else moves up. So, yes, trying to coincide the week that you get the pick with the matchup that you want, that's a big one. And then there's also, like, the home team. If the home team is in the NFC, then Fox gets, like, the right of first refusal, right? The mm-hmm. home team is in the AFC, CBS gets the right of first refusal. So that too is important. The whole thing is actually kind of fascinating. Kind of fascinating. I'm excited about it. I've never been kind of schedule guy and been this excited, but I am very excited about it. And I look at these games and I think most of them are really, really good. And they make sense. And then there's some like, yeah, we just got to have these two teams play.
I got to fill out the schedule somewhere.
Yes. Yes. We need. It's like an Animal House. We need the dues. We need the dues.
Someone's got to pay.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. You know, I feel like the Browns are the biggest losers so far in this thing. And I'll tell you why. You know, my first year at Fox, I looked at the schedule and do you remember who started for the Colts when Andrew Luck was out? Do you guys remember who started when Andrew Luck? I'm not talking about when he retired. Okay, when Andrew Luck was out, when he was going to be out for the season. If you go back to the first year that the Rams had. Sean McVay as their coach. Okay. The Rams were getting ready for a season. They were coming off a terrible season with Jeff Fisher as their coach. Ramos, you can remember this. Okay, so the Rams this year, this is 2017. What do you remember? Do you remember anything about the 2017 first Sean McVay season?
That they were good, but they came off the really bad season with Jeff Fisher and they actually were playing well.
Right. Okay. So here's what I saw and why I liked the Rams that year. Okay. They opened up with the Indianapolis Colts and Scott Tolzien was their quarterback.
And they waxed
I watched them. And I watched the 46-9. I watched the Colts that year in the third preseason game play the Cowboys. And I have some friends that are in the front offices in the NFL. And I texted them and I said, this is one of the worst football teams I've ever seen in terms of collection of talent. That's what it looked like. Okay. The 2017 Indianapolis Colts were one of the worst. And if you remember, that was the I believe that was the first year of the new new regime in terms of general manager, and that's when they turned things over. Okay, they started out that year losing to the Rams, and Scott Tolzien was their quarterback. Okay? And Jacoby Brissett took over after one game, and they only won four games, but they were much better with Brissett. But even Brissett wasn't great. They had so the point is this, that I a lot of the reason I thought the Rams would make the playoffs that year wasn't just I thought that McVay was going to be good. I did think he'd be good. It was how they started off the season. That year, they opened up with Indy. Then they took on Washington. And I liked them against Washington, one, because they were playing at home. Two, McVay had just come from Washington, so he knew the personnel. Then they took on San Francisco, who was not good. Right? Not good. But this is back when San Francisco was bad. In the first half of their season, they had Jacksonville, Arizona, bad teams. And while, you know, ultimately, you're going to have to play in that division. And they swept Seattle. They split with Seattle that year. And they actually lost to San Francisco at the end of the year that year. But the point was that you got to get some positive momentum early in the season. Because I know they've expanded the playoffs since then, but 0-3, 0-2 is really hard to make the playoffs. 0-3 is almost impossible to make the playoffs. And you're like, look, there's 16, now there's going to be 17 games. So there's plenty of games to make it up. But momentum is a real thing in terms of winning games in the NFL. And you start out thinking you're a Super Bowl favorite, and you go into Kansas City first game of the season, and it just changes you and puts some I don't like this at all for the Browns. Like, if I'm the Browns, I want the Texans first game of the season. If I'm the Browns, I want the Broncos, or I want the Giants. Like, to me, that's what I want. A game that I'm just better than the other team and maybe get a road win out of it and get in, get out, and start out 1-0. That is not what happened to the Browns. They open up against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. First time they'll have a full stands of fans. And if you've ever been to Kansas City Arrowhead, you know that place is going to be absolutely jacked and packed. New offensive lines, ton of skill position players, and they got Pat Mahomes. I don't like it for the Browns at all.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's welcome in Chris Sims, who joins us, NBC Sports NFL analyst. And Chris, obviously, you grew up in Jersey, so you remember Mike and the Dog, and I never got into that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, right? I never got into schedule breakdown guy because so much stuff will happen between now and the first game of the season. But maybe it's the fact we haven't had fans in the stands. Maybe it's that there's not a lot else kind of going on. Kind of excited about today, but there's a lot of questions. Bears-Rams as a first game choice for NBC, who you work for. So you'll be on that game.
Right.
What do you think of that? It feels to some like the Bears are a national draw. The Rams are L.A. Plus, it's the home stadium of the Super Bowl. That's the logic behind it.
Exactly.
But is that the reason for the matchup?
I mean, I think part of it. I think you hit at least the two big things there. It is the Chicago market. We know they love football there. They have a little bit of that national following. You're right. L.A., even though maybe not a national following, got some, you know, household names with McVay, and now, whoa, Matt Stafford's involved in this. And, of course, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, so there's star power there. And, yeah, I think part of the NBC thing, too, is, hey, we're starting on Thursday night with the Bucks and Cowboys. The Bucks won the Super Bowl. That's where it ended last year. And now we're going to go to Sunday night and show you where it's going to end this year. But I think there is the intrigue of that. I think that's really what it is. And I'm intrigued to see what Chicago does. And can Justin Fields maybe be the starter to week one? If he is, that'll even make it more fun, you know, the matchup in general. But, you know, yes, I think those are the reasons mainly that you see that being the Sunday night football game.
Do you think that would be smart for the Bears to start Justin Fields week one?
Listen, conventional wisdom and logic, of course, would tell you no, right? Like, you know, I've thought about this a little throughout the day here since I've seen the schedule and some of that stuff where, hey, yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton, he knows what it needs to be done in a week one in the NFL. He's got way more experience, all that type of stuff, right? But the other angle, just if I was going to play like the flip side, right, you did trade a number one pick to get up to number 11 to take this guy. You know, I do think there's going to be of like a calling for him very early on in the process. Bears fans were not happy that Andy Dalton was named the starter there for, you know, that little time frame there. And they're also going to look at it and go, wait, what? We picked this guy at 11 and he can't beat out Andy Dalton in training camp? So, you know, I think there's going to be some narratives there to want to push the Bears that way. And here's the last thing I'll say too, Doug, just as far as on the field, I don't think it's as crazy. Listen, just from the aspect of the Bears will have an advantage a little bit if you do start at Justin Fields, right? What do you do if you're the Rams? What am I preparing for? What exactly am I going to say? I mean, it's going to be Taysom Hill, Lamar Jackson type stuff involved with what type of pass offense. So there could be that surprise element if they do go the Justin Fields side of things there, to where maybe that balances the bar a little bit in their favor too. It's interesting, but I expect Andy Dalton to be the starter.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Chris Sims. All right, tell me what you think ultimately becomes of the Aaron Rodgers situation.
I think ultimately that he will be back in Green Bay for this year, and that this will be the last year that he plays in Green Bay as a Packer. I think that'll be it. Now, listen, is there an outside chance maybe Denver still tries to get a trade done or something here in the next month or so? Yes, maybe. But I also look at it from the standpoint of Rodgers is too damn good to sit out a year of football to prove a point to management or anything like that. The team is good. We know that. They're very close to the Super Bowl. I think he is legacy aware. Why would you want to trade away or give up a year like this right now with this team, the way you played last year, all of those type of things, increase your legacy, maybe win a Super Bowl, maybe another MVP, whatever that is. Man, you just don't give that up to me. But I do. I expect them to be back there. There's no issues with anybody on the team, the players. There's no issues with the coaching staff. It's all front office stuff. So I think that's ultimately why he'll walk back into that Green Bay locker room this offseason.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Chris Sims. Okay, let's go through that first game that's going to be on NBC. You mentioned Thursday Night Football. Tampa's going to return all 22 starters plus their draft picks against the Cowboys, who they haven't been a good team really in 2 years, but you'll have Dak back. You'd assume he'd be fully healthy. You have Zeke, the offensive line, which hasn't been as good as reputation, but a lot of that is health related. And week one of the season, injuries not permitting, they should be very, very healthy and good, and they've changed that defense. I think everybody thinks, well, Tampa's going to go out and mollywop them. Feels like that'll be a hell of a football game.
I think it could be. You know, week one's always, you never know what to expect. You know, a few different wrinkles on the offense or defensive side of the ball that the team's not prepared for, and all of a sudden that causes a turnover or a few three and outs, and all of a sudden you look at it and go, man, we're better than that, but they threw us a few curveballs here. A tight one. Good football game. Hey, the big thing is, it is Dallas, their star power, and the one thing I think you can like kind of guarantee with Dallas, at least at this point, as long as Dak Prescott is close to 100%, is offensive fireworks. There's like you said, there's just too much talent on the football team on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, and I think I agree with you. They're no longer, let's run the ball, Ezekiel Elliott, that's how we play football. No, it's, we drop back and we protect Dak Prescott and we carve you up in the pass game. That's what type of team they are. But the big question will be the defense, like you mentioned too. Can Dan Quinn, you know, make them a little bit more respectable this year, which I fully expect. I mean, we know that was the issue with them to begin with last year. They were playing a 3-4 defense with Seattle scheme type guys, and that just doesn't match up. So now they got a Seattle scheme defensive coordinator there. They've got a few guys in free agency to help them out. And to me, that's where it's going to be, can Dallas hang in there? Because the Bucs got it rolling at the end of the year to the point where they could just go, we'll do whatever we want to do. I don't care what defense you play. if you think we're going to run it and we want to run it, we don't give a damn. We're going to run it. And that, they did that. They had moments of overpowering people with their willpower in the run game. And then, of course, when you start to overplay that run game, Brady and those weapons, they can tear you up too. And that'll be really the big question of the matchup is that Dallas defense.
Chris Sims joining us, Football Night in America. It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. You once upon a time worked in New England. Give me your thoughts on Mac Jones, the fit with what they want to do, and the timeline of when you think you'll see him on a football field.
Yeah, okay. So I think the first thing I would say is I don't think we're going to see him on the football field at all this year. I just don't. I don't see it. That's not in their DNA up there in New England. For Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels to trust any rookie, really. You know, even if he is from Alabama and he's the most NFL-ready type guy, I don't see that being part of it. I think they're going to ride or die with Cam Newton this year and, you know, then reevaluate after the year's over. I know they picked him a number 15, but listen, New England's not the type of team that's just going to abandon ship or change everything around for a rookie right away, right off the bat. If they ended up, like, winning the AFC East and going to the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked if they went, hey, we're going to go one more run with Cam Newton. Don't worry, Mac, we got you for 5 years. We'll get you in there eventually. You'll be the guy. I wouldn't be shocked by that. But the fit is perfect. I mean, it's a match made in heaven. It really is. I mean, Mac Jones is phenomenal in the pocket. He's better than Drew Brees was coming out of college. He can be that type of football player. You know, I'm not going to say he's got the arm of Brady or anything like that, but it's a good arm. And I think the IQ, the accuracy, the decision-making, the quickness of how all of it gets diagnosed, and he can read and react and do that, you know, that's where it really fits perfectly with New England. And I think that's why they fancied him so much.
Okay, what really happened with Kyle Shanahan? Like, yeah, people I know said, hey, man, he really liked Mac Jones. Did the team make him flip? What really happened where he went from Mac Jones's guy to Trey Lance's guy?
Doug, I can't tell you real answers here. Like, I don't know. You know, I know everybody thinks I know exactly what went on because I'm a buddy with Kyle Shanahan. Hey, I was the one that was out there certainly banging the table going, it's Mac Jones, it's Mac Jones. Just from knowing my friend, having talked about, you know, quarterbacks early on in the process back in, like, January, yeah, that was my read. I thought it would be Mac Jones all the way. Listen, I know a lot of people around the league and even the 49ers. I still believe you're never going to be able to talk me off that. The trade was made for Mac Jones. They moved up to number 3 for Mac Jones. Somewhere along the lines, that changed. But I'm never going to get off that belief, no matter what. I know too many people connected in the league and the situation and everything that is my belief, and no matter what my friend Kyle tries to tell me, I'm not going to back down from that thought there. I'm really not. So I don't know what changed it. I really don't, Doug. I wish I could give you the answer. You know, I would have never picked Trey Lance at number 3, nor would I have traded up to number 3 for Trey Lance. But I am excited to see what Shanahan can do with a guy like that. I mean, that 49ers offense now, and I don't know if he starts week 1 or whatever. That's part of the Trey Lance conundrum too, though, Doug. The guy hasn't played enough football, and now what are we going to do? Sit him out a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo again? I mean, at some point, you just got to play to get better. You know, he's never run a 2-minute drill in a college football game. He never really had a college game where they went, man, you're going to have to come out there and dice them up today for us to win the game. Never. He never had to do that. So those are big questions, but that offense, that O-line with drafting Aaron Banks in the second round, it's maybe one of the best O-line in football. You got Kittle, Ayuk, Debo Samuel, those running backs, and Shanahan's creative scheme. I am excited to see what he can do with Trey Lance when that day does come.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. I haven't asked you about Teddy Bridgewater, right? Like, the Saints paid him a bunch of money to keep him around, but then he left and he goes to Carolina. They soured on him a little bit. He ends up going to the Broncos. Obviously, the Broncos badly want to get in on the Aaron Rodgers deal, if that's a possibility, this year or next year. But that's a pretty good football team. Defense, offense, in terms of their skill position, they tried to rebuild the offensive line. How do they look with Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they could win games with with Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the more consistent, you know, not ruin the game, take what's there to be had, somewhat of that game manager, right? You know, which, hey, Vic Fangio, a defensive coach, I think that's why they wanted Teddy Bridgewater. I think, you know, they were looking at Sam Darnold. I think they were looking at Jimmy Garoppolo if he was available, you know, because you just can't go all in on Drew Locke, especially a guy like Vic Fangio. He's sitting there going, wait, if we don't do well this year, I'm getting fired. I'm out of here. So am I really going to go down with the ship with, like, Drew Locke as my only answer at quarterback? I think there's greater potential for greater success and things like that with Drew Locke, but he's got to clean his game up. So I really think that'll be a legitimate competition. But, like, the first thing you said, Doug, I mean, Denver is one of those teams that just, like, you know, write a note next to their name and go, watch out. Like, don't be shocked if they get, like, solid quarterback play, if they're, like, deep into the playoff conversation come December. Those wide receivers, I know we've talked about it before. You could put that group up there with anybody in football. They got legit tight ends. The O-line's figured out. Von Miller's back. You know, they signed Fuller from the Chicago Bears in free agency. You know, they kept Justin Simmons. They kept the old safety from the Texans that they had. And then they drafted Patrick Surtain. So Broncos would definitely be one of those teams, no matter who's the quarterback, I'd say, if you got to bet on a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, that's a long shot for this year to get in the mix there, they would be one of the teams I would throw out there for anybody like that.
Chris, great stuff, man. Awesome work. Can't wait to talk more with you. We're starting to get a sense of when we'll see you and where we'll see you this upcoming season. We really appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
You're the man, Doug. Talk to you soon. Let me know when you want me again. I'm always down.
All right, you're the man. Chris Sims, NBC Sports NFL analyst.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I got a guy, Colonel Nathan Jessup. What a great Twitter handle, Colonel Nathan Jessup. There's a lot of people who do not like my take on the Colin Kaepernick deal. Don't like my take on the Colin Kaepernick deal. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a game to play.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Full house today with guests. Bill Orme from The Athletic, who covers the Lakers. He'll join us top of the hour. Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks. He'll join us half past the hour next hour. So basketball, football. Also, wait to hear what Teddy Bridgewater said about his former team, the Carolina Panthers. And Eddie House will join us in the third hour of the show. In the meantime, let's get to Isaac Lohenkron. He joins us. What's the game, Ike?
This is perfect for a day like this.
Real news, fake news.
Doug, Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it was announced today, will host the Dallas Cowboys in the first game of the NFL season on Thursday, September 9th. And Tom Brady is already trolling the Cowboys on social media. Is that real news or fake news?
That's fake news.
They're real.
Ooh.
And they're spectacular.
Stumbling out of the gate. He posted on Instagram, 9-9 can't come soon enough. Excited to open up against America's team. And he has America's team in quotes. And then
that's totally trolling him.
He added a gif of a character from WandaVision giggling. So you have America's team in quotes and then the giggling WandaVision character. So dual trolling, it appears.
Well, I mean, they are called America's team, right?
Yeah. But they haven't exactly won a Super Bowl. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, like, look, the reason that the Cowboys are on that game is because they're America's team.
True,
they do. So, anyway, it is real news. It's interesting.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Jerry Jones not amused with that. Blocked him on social media.
I actually think they're the perfect America's team.
By the way, one of the comments underneath his post, Micah Parsons is going to take care of Tom. Social media Twitter muscles on the behalf of that fan. All right, next item, Doug. The NFL will not be returning to London in the 2021 season. Is that real news or fake news?
That's fake news.
You are fake news.
And he bounces back. So no games, obviously, in London last year, but there are going to be two in London this year. It'll be the Jets taking on the Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who always play at least one of the games, taking on the Miami Dolphins. Both of those games at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. There will actually not be a game in Mexico City this year because of the pandemic. But indeed, the NFL back in London. All right, next item, also from the NFL. The Denver Broncos' incredible 29-year streak of having one of their games on Monday Night Football will come to an end this year. Is that real news or fake news?
Real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Yeah, 2 for 3. Mike Kliss of KUSA Television out of Denver tweeted that they will not have a single Monday night game on the schedule, first time in 29 years. And remember, especially at the old Mile High Stadium, I mean, you remember this, Doug. I think one of the greatest games in Monday night football history was a Denver Broncos game, Elway against Montana back in the day.
Elway, Montana. That was a huge one.
Oh, a huge one.
There's been a lot. I mean, there was a lot of great Broncos. It feels like there was good Broncos Raiders games. Remember, because Shanahan started with the Raiders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then went to the Broncos. There's a lot of negative feelings there. There have been some incredible Denver Monday night and Sunday night games, which you remember, of course, even go back to Tebow time.
Oh, yes. And the streak of Tim Tebow being mentioned every day on Fox Sports Radio continues, thanks to that clever aside. If Aaron Rodgers winds up getting traded to the Broncos, I'm just saying. But again, that's TBD. All right, Doug, here's a college basketball item. So right in your particular wheelhouse. Patrick Baldwin Jr., a 5-star prospect in the 2021 recruiting class, in fact, ranked 4th nationally, had scholarship offers from the likes of Duke and Georgetown, but instead turned those down in order to play for his father at Milwaukee, technically the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee, the Mighty Panthers. Is that real news or fake news?
That's real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
And his rebound continues. He will be playing not in the ACC or the Big East. He will be playing for his father in the Horizon League. And by the way, they play their arena at the old Milwaukee Bucks Arena, now known by a different name, but it used to be known as the Mecca. Perhaps that was the draw for him and obviously playing for his dad.
I think it's called the Milwaukee Arena now. It used to be two arenas down from the new arena. I don't know if you've been to Milwaukee?
I haven't, but it's weird because they have the Mecca, the Bradley Center, and then the new arena all in a line.
I think they knocked down the Bradley
Center. The Bradley Center, okay.
Which was in between. But yes, it was the Mecca, okay, which became the Milwaukee Arena. It's cool. It's still got the old kind of front where it looks like almost like a theater entrance, right? And then you go, and that's where the Bucks and Marquette used to play. Then you had the Bradley Center. Then they're building now Fiserv Forum. And but I think they knocked down the Bradley Center in the middle. It's a bit of a surprise, but one of his buddies was Jalen Johnson, who played for Duke. And of course, it didn't end well there. And he ended up, bailing out early on the team. But I also think he's only gonna play for a year. He's gonna help his dad save his job. So that makes a ton of sense.
Would you humor me real quick and give me Mike Krzyzewski's reaction to that news?
I love Duke. I love the kid. I wish he would have come to play for me though.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I wish he would have come to play for me though. That's what I wish would have happened. It sounds a little bit like Rain Man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.